What's up, y'all? Welcome back to Unfazed and Unbothered. I'm Tasia.
I'm Camo. So, hey, Little Biscuits.
Hello, Biscuits.
Hey. We're very close right now. Our dear, kind, sweet manager means so well. Bought us this gorgeous backdrop. I mean, it is gorgeous. It feels very good quality, but unfortunately, it's about 4 foot wide. And so, even this close,
you can still see the
wow.
So we're just gonna make it do what it do, baby.
Yeah, bear with us. This is all a process. So y'all are gonna get to see our growth over the next few weeks, hopefully. So, but hugs and kisses, Brendan.
The funny thing about doing a podcast too and recording yourself is like it's funny because you can look at yourself while you're talking and like see your faces, so it makes it funnier. So like if people are not watching the video, they're not going to understand our facial expression.
But oh yeah, TTT.
It's so funny.
If you're listening on podcasts or Spotify, make sure you check out the YouTube.
The video as well.
Yeah, it's.
It just adds a little razzle dazzle and sprinkle.
A little sprinkle winkle.
Speaking of sprinkle, I want a sprinkle donut. Okay, anyways. Oh. So on today's episode, we are going to kind of dig into why we made the choices that we made. For example, why did I, you know, turn over to drugs and alcohol to, you know, quote unquote, fix my problems? What was going so wrong in my life that I felt the need to do that? And the same thing for Camo. What, you know, did he go through to make him feel like he had to get in trouble with the law as well? Just to kind of give more people an inside look on what, for me, addiction is. And for Camo, what would you consider your issue?
I was very much a klepto. It's not funny. You know, we've been through these things and now we have a sense of humor about it. But
right.
I can say, though, I've never stolen from a friend, a family member, just large corporations. I'm condoning that or glamorizing that, but these are our stories. And so, like I said, we've just got to have a sense of humor about it now. So,
For me, I'm just going to dive in because, you know, on TikTok, I can easily say, yes, I went to prison. I can make jokes about it. Yes, I was an alcoholic, an addict, and make jokes about it or whatever. But there's so much more to that than me just saying it, because a lot of people ask me like, well, what did you go to prison for? And then, you know, obviously you can look up my name and all the charges pop up, because I've always told people that instead of explaining myself in the comments or explaining myself on a TikTok all the time, because I have broken it down in multiple TikToks to kind of catch people up and what I'm talking about. But, you know, obviously when you look up my charges, that's all you see, but there's really no information as to, well, why did you do that? Like, all you see is what you see on paper and nothing, no story behind it. So for me, when I was on Vine a few years ago, I think that I started on Vine about 14 years old. Mm-hmm. And so from 14 to age 17, I was on Vine. And obviously, when you have so many people looking at you all the time, you always, it's almost like you feel like you're not good enough in a way. But I also went through an eating disorder when I was on Vine because, you know, people, for some reason back then, it was, people were more nasty on the internet.
Oh my God, that is so tea.
It's so true. People were nasty. I mean, you can post a TikTok today or an Instagram post and people are not going to be as nasty. Obviously, they'll ask very personal questions and they might throw in a few rude comments. But on Vine, it was like very nasty. Like they would call you out about your weight, about how you looked, about how you talked. I remember people used to say, does she smoke cigarettes? Why does she talk like that? Because my voice was raspy. And so being in high school, being a teenager, obviously, it's going to go to your head because mm-hmm. you have not experienced life in a sense to understand that people are just nasty for no reason.
Yeah.
Especially being a kid on the internet, it's a lot to have to take in. It really is. And so anyways, that being said, throughout my years on Vine, I was struggling mentally. So I eventually had an eating disorder. I was going to high school. And when I figured out that you could take a substance to help you stay skinny, I started taking it, which was Adderall at the time. And I was just getting it from people at school. Like, seriously, people were prescribed it. They didn't want to take it. They would just give it to me. And so obviously I developed an eating disorder. And that being said, when you don't eat, it's not good for your brain. You have to fuel your body. You have to, because your body—
You're depriving yourself of the nutrients you need to function.
And eventually your body, it's not going to act in a positive way. It's going to start acting negatively. So
it's
a lot of—
catch up to you.
Absolutely. And so that is basically how my addiction started. And then I started drinking. You know, I'd already drank in high school a little bit, but when I started taking the Adderall, I started drinking more because I couldn't sleep at night. And anyways, to kind of give a long story short, I always say that and then the story's still long as hell. Like, what the fuck, bitch? Just fucking keep going. But anyway, so after all that, in the summer, I was, 17? It was like the summer. And I started going out to parties and doing Xanax because that's what everybody was doing and drinking. Mm. And people knew I was on Vine. So what they would do is they knew I was about to be really fucked up and they would start recording me.
They would take advantage of the moment.
Absolutely. And they started recording me and posting all over the internet. So then it was a topic where, oh, Tasia Alexis is a drug addict. I saw her at a party. She was on Xanax and drinking. She's falling over. How embarrassing. Making fun of me. And it started to really mess with me. And I just, you would think that I would have just been like, okay, let's
got it together, but instead it perpetuated the situation.
It did. I spiraled more out of control because I was so ashamed and embarrassed. So I just kept on making dumb decisions. And then I met a guy who I was with for 2 years, maybe not even 2 years. He was very toxic for me. We were toxic for each other. And that was also added on to the addiction. Anytime something went on, both of us were doing drugs, we were drinking. That's when I got in trouble with the law for the first time on a possession of Adderall charge, and it just spiraled out of control. And so eventually, when that ended, and that ended by me going to jail multiple times on a probation violation, I violated probation with dirty urine twice for Xanax and macaroni and cheeses. And I talk about and I talk about this in my TikToks too. And I'm like, yeah, I used to do macaroni and cheese. Like, I'm dead serious. It got to a point where I was doing things that I said I would never do. And so, and actually what made me fail for macaroni and cheeses was doing ecstasy. So it was meth based. And I did not know that. Oh. And so I remember going into my probation office and they said that I had failed for meth and Xanax. And I looked at them and I said, no, I did ecstasy. And they looked at me and they said, Tasia, what do you think ecstasy, what do you think that people put in it? I'm like, I have no idea. They said it can vary from different things. Heroin, meth, they can put anything they want into it and tell you that it's something that it's not. And so I went to jail, you know, for the first time for 2 weeks and the second time for 30 days. And then they eventually sent me to a rehab facility, which I spent 14 months at. But it wasn't like you think of like a hospital. It was more of like, you act like a normal member of society. You go to work, you drive, you pay your rent there. And
oh, you were, this is when you were working at Zaxby's.
This is when I was working at Zaxby's. And we'll get into this story too, because that makes me want to fight a bitch.
I've heard so many stories.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
So yeah, I was there for 14 months. And the reason being is it was a year program, and basically nobody gets out within a year because you are going to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. You're going to do things that obviously set you back. And for me, setting back was, I think one was like my attitude, because I played around too damn much. You know, do they not understand that I am a fucking jokester queen? I mean, I can't take everything fucking serious, but obviously there's a time and place, and I didn't understand those boundaries. I mean, I was 18 years old, you know. Yeah. I didn't give a fuck. I mean, I did, but I didn't.
She wasn't matured yet.
Yeah, I wasn't matured yet. I woke up and chose violence every day. But anyways, I did do pretty well, and obviously because I graduated. But that being said, I worked at fucking Zaxby's there, and I fucking hated that shit. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't want to fucking work at no Zaxby's. But anyways, I did it, and I honestly like enjoyed it for that. Me being in rehab. But I remember people would see me and they'd be like, oh, that's that girl from Vine. And I would get on the internet, which I wasn't supposed to do in rehab, but you know, I didn't get there following the rules. So so I would like check my social media and stuff. I wouldn't post because I didn't want to get in trouble, but like I would check and people would be like, LOL, life is really looking down for Tayshia. She's working at Zaxby's. You know, Tayshia Lex is from Vine. Just being nasty people, like, hold the fuck up.
Okay, why? Pause. Why can't you have a successful internet following, career, whatever, and work a regular job? I mean, granted, I don't want to work a regular job, but I mean, I have friends who have large followings and they work regular schmegular jobs. Like, why would somebody say that you're like losing it all just because you have a job? Like, there's bitches out there that have no job. Like, what?
Well, period. But also the thing was, is at the time I was 18, and you know, it was hard for me to transition from being somebody who was always doing what I wanted to do all the time and being on social media to being in a rehabilitation facility where I'm told what I can and can't do, and trying to work a job and keep my mental sane, and then getting on the internet and seeing stuff like that. It was like, what the fuck? But, you know, I had already seen so much shit about me. It really was just like, okay, period. Like, laughing my ass off, because this is what I'm doing. If you don't fucking like it, then you can suck my asshole. But anyway.
Retweet.
No, but seriously, people are so nasty and mean for what? But anyways, I just kept working there, you know, living my best life. And I worked there for the whole time I was in rehab. My armpits are sweating. I'm fucking hot as hell.
Well, we got this damn ring light on, fucking
like
shine
fuck.
Bright like a diamond mode.
Shine bright like a diamond. But anyways, so I did that for a while, and then when I got out of rehab, that's when me and Camo met, because I started working at a restaurant near my house. I was living with my parents at the time. And then, long story short, y'all, I couldn't get it together for a few years. It took me a while to get it together. I just kind of felt lost, like I had nothing to live for. I didn't have kids. I kind of felt like a stick in the mud, because I had been through so much, and it's hard to kind of go through so much and be, you know, taken away from your family for 14 months. Yes, I saw them every weekend, but like to physically be taken away from them, not really seeing them, but every other weekend, kind of being taken out of reality for that long, you kind of lose your sense of like who you are, and it's hard to get back into society and live normally, which that is kind of where institutionalized comes from, I think, is some people go to jail and prison and they just can't stay out because that's so normal for them. Luckily for me, you know, God blessed me with Greenlee. Greenlee really changed my life. So
she
really did change my life. Camo has seen me through it all, and he saw me when I was making bad decisions. And yeah, Greenlee really changed my life. And so And now I have, you know, Princeton on the way and two and done. I'm done after this. Okay. I bet she's fucking tired. But
no more.
No fucking more. But yeah, she really changed my life. And it took that to change my life. But, you know, yes, I've been to jail multiple times and I've only been in prison once. One and done, because that shit did it for me. Hmm. But the reason why I had made all of these decisions was because of pain.
Where did it start? Like, at what point were you like, I need to escape reality? Let me try these substances out. Like, what was the thing that pushed you over the edge?
So it's kind of hard to explain, because also when you're doing drugs and stuff, you give yourself and drink, you give yourself reasons as to doing something. Like, oh, I had a bad fucking day, I'm going to get fucked up. And
yeah,
then you lose your sense of, why did I even start doing this? Because you just eventually start, you're making excuses.
It's a habit at this
point. A habit. Like, you're doing it for no reason. You're not in that much pain. Like, you can get over this and stop doing drugs. But at the time,
in the very beginning, like, can you recall the first time you did any substance and like what it was?
For me, it was being insecure. It was being insecure, never feeling good enough, you know, on the internet, allowing comments and people get in my head too much. Also not eating, the eating disorder thing. You cannot live by not eating.
No.
Your mental health will eventually go fucking insane. It's not normal. It's not natural. You shouldn't do it. And I did it for a long, long time, over a year doing it, of just eating pineapple every day. That's what? I don't even know how I survived, but, it was bad. And so it just started affecting me. But then in the midst of all this, when I was sexually assaulted at 17, then that became my excuse for why I couldn't stop doing it. And also the toxic relationship that I was in. I never had time to grieve being sexually assaulted, because the person I was with at the time was so, what's the word for it? Mean. He was a mean person. Always, he was cheating on me left and right. Made me feel less than. I've never had anybody treat me like that in my whole life. And looking back, I hope that it was just something maybe that he was going through at the time. I don't really know, but maybe.
Was he like verbally abusive or like?
He was just I don't even know the word for it. I don't want to say manipulator, but like he was one of those that like, he could say something and anybody would fucking believe it, but he would lie. He would lie about.
Like a little charmer.
Yeah, he was a liar. A liar, pants on fire. But seriously, he was. And so then he would cheat on me all the time with people that like followed me, like, and people in our community, like, and they wouldn't even be, it would be just people that honestly didn't really take care of themselves. Like just not, I don't know, they kind of didn't look the best, you know, look like maybe they didn't shower in a week, but no tea, no shade, but do you know,
wash your pussy, wash your pits,
it just, I don't wash under, your ass. I didn't understand at the time. And so then it became and then when I went to rehab, he would try reaching out to me a lot. And I was trying to get my life together. And I was like, I don't want to be with you. And he had actually called me. He called me one time. He said, okay, well then fuck you. You're nothing but a hoe in a rehab.
Dude, why that is such a thing? Why do guys do that when they will pursue you and then when you're over it or when you're not interested, suddenly you're a hoe? Like the amount of guys that'll the first message they send is a damn dick pic or something off the damn walls, and I'm like, not interested. You're a fucking ugly fat whore anyways. Well, shit, I guess you wanted this ugly fat whore because you reached out first, bitch.
Well, the thing is like, I'm so blessed because when I look at me and my husband's relationship and like how blessed I am to have him and how good he treats me and my family, and he's just such a good person. When I look back at that relationship, it blows my mind that I stuck around for so long, because no matter what, if you're in a relationship with somebody for a certain amount of time and they say that they do not love you, they don't like you, you know, they might not want you to die, but like something's not right. And at the time I couldn't wrap my head around that. I was just very young, but looking back, it was a weird ass situation, but that set me over the edge. I felt like my worth was just zero, because people can make you feel like that.
Yeah.
And so it just spiraled out of control. And then the last time I had gotten in trouble was right before, like maybe a couple months before Greenlee had even been thought of. And that was the last time I got in trouble. And then, you know, like I've talked about on TikTok before, I did have to respond to old charges after Greenlee was already here. And that was unfortunate. And I remember thinking, why would God do this to me? But God didn't do it to me. I did it by my actions. And God seed me through it because he always prevails, as he always does. And I did get through prison. And I was supposed to do 2 years in prison. And I got out within 8 months, which is amazing.
A blessing.
That was a blessing. Yeah. So
I was praying every day. I was like, God, please let my friend out.
Yeah. And so it sucked. It did. But I learned a lot out of it. And I think the reason why my plan was to go when Greenlee was here was so that I could understand that now I do have something to live for. So yeah. If I make these decisions, yes, I will have something to miss out on. And So that stuck with me the whole time I was in there. But also I got closer with God so that I could understand myself more and life more and stuff like that. And I remember being in prison praying, like, how am I going to live life after this? You know, because I'd been in rehab and I got out and I was like all over the place and I didn't want to be like that again. But when I got out, so many blessings happened so fast and it was literally God answering everything that I'd been worried about. So that was pretty much the root of why I did everything I did.
Well, shit, friend. I feel like we learned a lot today.
That was a lot.
It was, but very well said.
Thank you, friend.
I think we should go on our first little break of the episode.
Period.
And when we get back, I'll kind of share some of my story. Toodles.
Toodles.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new. 24 and 24, Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey guys, it's Cheyenne Davis. You may know me from MTV's Teen Mom OG or Think Loud Crew podcast. I'm here with my dad, Papa Floyd, to tell you about our new podcast, Unfiltered Kitchen.
The kitchen is the hub of the household for many of us. The one-stop shop for conversations both big and small. Cheyenne and I have been having open conversations about all aspects of life in our kitchen since well before she was able to see over the counter.
And now we're inviting you into our own kitchen as a part of the family.
Unfiltered Kitchen is a two-way street. I share my advice on cocktails, cooking, parenting, and the lessons I've learned.
And I inform my dad what it's like to raise kids today, how generational barriers affect us, and the joys of being a daughter. Well, your daughter.
Get ready for a whole lot of unfiltered advice. You can take it or leave it, but you're never going to leave this table feeling hungry for more.
Listen to Unfiltered Kitchen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Unfazed and Unbothered. I'm Camo.
And I'm Latasia. I'm just kidding. I'm Tasia.
Tasty tea.
Tasty tea.
Remember when we tried to make a rap song for you?
Yeah. That's embarrassing. We need to play it one episode just to laugh at the embarrassment.
No. We should. Well, we don't have. We never recorded it, but we could do like a live performance.
Yeah.
Later.
Later. Yeah. Thank you.
I gotta prepare welcome myself back. For
that embarrassment.
No, okay. I wrote some. Listen,
I got a big fat pussy for you, skinny bitches.
I could be all you your hoes talking shit, bitch.
Huh?
I could be your ghostwriter. That was a fire ass song.
Yeah, it was, but the embarrassment for me because I don't know how to rap, so I sound like a white cracker girl. I
got a white big, cracker girl.
I got a big fat for you, skinny bitches. All you hoes talking shit. Like, what? Are you okay?
Listen, it was promising, but
it was.
She, anyways, moving on. So for me, so we left off on, you know, Tasia's experiences with running in with the law and why she made the decisions that she chose. For me, it was a little different. So I was also on Vine, and going back to what you said about how like nasty the internet was, internet culture is completely different now. People are more mindful of the things they say. Of course, there's still a lot of dumbasses, but also TikTok is very protective of those type of comments. So maybe people are still as nasty, but they just don't have...
not seeing it.
They just don't have the space to be so because... Well, because I remember some of my videos got shared on like these viral pages on Facebook and the comments were nasty. So I was like, maybe it's just TikTok. TikTok is just a fantasy land. But so I was also on Vine and people were so nasty to me. I would get 500 comments on a video and like maybe a handful were nice and the rest of them were like, you big fat faggot, kill yourself, you're ugly, blah, 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 I bet your parents are proud. It was disgusting. But I've never really taken things like that to heart so much. I feel like it honestly is amusement to me. But for me, I did start fucking around with substances and, you know, I started stealing, shoplifting. I think it was a direct reflection of my health situation. I started messing around with Molly. And honestly, at that point in my life, if a friend put something in my face, I would do it. The way I was looking at life was I was about to die. See, when I was diagnosed, the lifespan for my illness at the time was like 3 to 5 years after diagnosis. And so I was like, well, shit, I'm going to die. Let me just go out in a blaze of glory. So I was messing around with substances. I remember one time, this was a one and done situation for me, but I had done Skittles. You know what I'm talking about?
I've heard of it before, but I don't really know what it is.
Well, it's cordyceed and cough and cold. Some crackhead junkie in my neighborhood was stealing them from Ingles, an old friend, old pal. he was stealing boxes of them from Ingles across the street. And one day he was like, just try this, man. Just try it. It's fucking crazy. And I did a whole sleeve of them in a sitting. So it's really like cough medicine, but if you abuse it and you take X amount, then you're going to hallucinate, essentially. Well, yeah, anyways, it wasn't a good experience. I was seeing trails and I thought I was going to die. That was a one and done situation, but...
it's like overdosing on Robitussin.
Basically.
I've been there, done that. It's scary.
Yeah, like it was so weird. But I was doing Molly. Molly was like my drug of choice. I was going to this club called Quad every Tuesday and I had to be there on Tuesday. It really became a thing. Like my life revolved. So embarrassing. My life really did revolve around being in a club on a Tuesday. The club was going up
club
on a Tuesday.
Going up.
It was. And I was going up. I was going up, up, up. Loved Molly back in the day, but I think one of the last times I did Molly was kind of the same experience you had with ecstasy. I didn't go with the friend of mine who was getting me Molly, and he was like, don't do nothing, don't take nothing from anybody out there if I'm not there with you. And I was like, bitch, I'm not going to the club sober. So I had a friend that I was with was like, hey, I can go find us some. She went and found us something. Turned out it was ice, aka macaroni and cheese. And it was a horrible experience. I was puking my brains out in the back of the club. Well, I was outside on the patio. But, you know, I did experiment with a lot of substances. I never did heroin, never did crack, never did that, but I did mess around with coke a few times.
Crack is whack.
Crack is whack.
Weed is what I need. I'm just kidding. I don't do nothing.
Weed is what I need.
But weed is what you need, honey. That's why you're wearing sunglasses.
Oh, yeah, because I'm high as biscuits right now. So if I'm sounding really slow and slurred, baby, that's why.
Period.
I was smoking copious? Damn. I'm high as biscuits. I was smoking a lot of weed back in the day. So much, like 10, 11 blunts a day. Every bit of money I got was going to the plug. And it was sad. It was sad. It was so sad. I had no money to begin with. And any money I did get from however which way I got money, it was going to weed. And people will say that weed is not addictive, but it definitely is. I wouldn't label it necessarily a drug, but it is mind-altering. It is mind numbing. So I was spending a shit ton of money on that. But I don't think I ever really had like a time where like it got out of control, because I wasn't getting crazy with it. I definitely was experimenting for, you know, at least a year, but I never was like going on benders and like getting too reckless. I knew where the line was, and I kind of stayed right at the line. But I started getting in trouble with the law the first time I went to jail. So petty. They didn't pull me over for any other reason than it just looking sketchy. I saw this cop pull behind me, and I had just gotten high. I hotboxed with my friend Ariana, and it was me and my brother in the car. We actually went and rescued her from a situation where she had like not updated her license or some shit. Anyways, I had to go pick her up from the cops. We went to her house, we went smoked, and then I drove back home, and a cop like was right behind me, and the next turn on the left was my turn. And so I guess it looked suspicious that I was like trying to avoid him. And the next left was my road that I lived on. So I got pulled over two houses down from my house. And at the time I was 18 or 19, whatever. And I didn't know that you could tell a cop, no, you can't search my car. And I know, embarrassing. And also I forgot that I had stuff in my car, because I was like, well, shit, I smoked all the weed anyways. But them motherfuckers tore my car apart and found a roach. And
God forbid.
A fucking roach and a fucking, I had bought like this vape pen at the time where you could put like flour in it and burn it. They found that. I had that shit for 2 days. That shit was $150. Them bitches took that shit. Trifling as fuck.
I would have said, can I at least just hit this bitch right before I go?
Yeah, because I'm going. Well, I tried telling them there's nothing in there. Like, and then when they were like, at any moment you can be honest with me. And I was like, oh, you know, my friends, they do smoke, and they smoke in my car, so I don't know if there's anything in there. My brother was with me. And anyways, they did these little tests. Like, they made us rub our fingers together to see if like resin would build up. And they checked our tongues and they checked our eyes. And because I had been like denying anything in my car, and my brother was like wigging out, he was getting like he was getting very upset, because he was like, fuck, I can't go to jail. Like, he had good things going. I was living a different life. But essentially they thought that he was responsible for everything that was in my car, the little bitty shit that was in there. But so yeah, we both got arrested. He was livid. I'm so sorry, Tay Tay. Love you so much. Sorry for that. Our dad was very angry. But then fast forward a few years later, at this point, I had already had my bone marrow transplant, but I was like in this state of, I couldn't really do much because I was still like, it wasn't the safest for me to be out in public because I was still recovering. And I didn't have a great immune system yet. So I didn't want to go get like a job at that point in time. So I was getting my little social security check. It was like $400. It was not glamorous. And I was living with my mom, and she was also getting social security because she had been in a freak accident a few years earlier. She got ran over and shattered her ribs, shattered her hips, and punctured her lungs. Like, she went through it. Bless you. Oh, shit, bitch.
Excuse me, bitch.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you, bitch.
Hopefully you ain't got Miss Rona Rucci.
Oh, no, ma'am.
But, yeah, so I was living with her. She was getting her little Social Security check, and it was, like, barely enough to do anything for the both of us. She was getting, like, $1,200. I was getting $400, and my mom got, like, money for my sister also. It was, like, $600. Very much not enough to pay rent, eat, drive a car, pay for your phones, everything that life requires. And so me and my mom caught me. I got caught stealing at around 6 years old. This shit started really young for me. See, I was always a little evil genius. I devised this plan when I was about six. I always loved jewelry. Like I said in previous episodes, I used to love playing in my mother's jewelry. And I, from a young age, knew like the difference between like good jewelry and bad jewelry. And so I would go to like Parisians, RIP is no longer a thing, I don't think, but like Parisians and Macy's. And I would find these sterling silver pieces and I would steal them. And like, who's going to think a 6-year-old was stealing it or was stealing anything? So I would, when my mother would be checking out at the register, I would go in the parking lot and throw it in the parking lot. And when we would come out, I'd be like, oh my goodness, look what I found, mommy. And she would always tell her friends, like, I don't know, Cam just, he's like a magnet for finding stuff. And it's just such nice jewelry. And
oh my
for a, like at least a solid 2 years, I had like had this shoebox under my bed that I was just accumulating all this sterling silver. It was so much shit. But then one day my brother ratted me out for stealing a candy bar and I got my ass tore up. My mother shaved my head. That was my punishment growing up. If I got in trouble, I got my head shaved. But fast forward, I'm living with my mother. We're both like scraping by and we couldn't really afford anything. And my mother knew that I shoplifted back in the day. And my mother, come to find out, my whole childhood, she was shoplifting. So we had kind of like formulated this bond together over being kleptos. And so me and her started going to department stores and we were going on heists, for lack of better terms.
Period.
Heists.
Period.
I probably shouldn't be mentioning the store names, so, but I think we're in the statute of limitations. That was 5 years ago. So we're in the clear now, but I'm so sorry to all you businesses out there that I hurt while I was hurting, but I... Me and my mother were, we had a problem and it was really from not having money and my health issues in the past and like me kind of being bitter, like, why me? Like, what did I do to deserve this? And at that point, I felt like it was justified because I had already went through hell and back. Like, what's a you know, few pair of underwear gonna do? You know what I'm saying, bitch? So that was that. I was just being stupid and silly because of my circumstances, I would say. But I had to go to jail twice before I really realized that I don't want to act in those ways. And also I started making money and I actually was getting jobs. But yeah, life, we love it.
We love it.
Live, laugh, love.
Yeah, I definitely think that it's the same thing for drug and alcohol addiction. Anybody can have, like you had an addiction that was illegal, but it wasn't drugs and alcohol, you know, yeah. But it's still just as bad because you're going to jail for it and you're not supposed to be doing it. So, and it's definitely, there's always a root problem of why people do things. Like some people say, okay, well, I just don't understand why people steal or do drugs and drink. And well, you're not going to understand unless that you're in their situation because people do things for different reasons, you know? Yeah. And even for the people that say, oh, I just do it because I want to do it because I like it. They're probably lying. They are probably lying.
There's definitely a root problem. I wasn't happy. You weren't happy. We weren't, you know, content with our circumstances and we got away with a lot of shit. But it when you act in those ways, it always will catch up to you. Eventually my mother went to jail. She got caught at Kohl's. She went to jail. It took a few times of me getting into trouble or almost going to jail for me to really get it together. I got fired from Walmart for stealing rotisserie chickens.
We love a good rotisserie.
I would go steal the whole bird and eat it on my lunch break in the car. I'm not even kidding. On my mama.
They should have just been like, you look hungry, baby. Go outside and eat that rotisserie chicken.
At that point, I very much would eat only that rotisserie chicken, and that was the only thing I ate all day. So I definitely was.
If they paid you a little bit more, you wouldn't have stole that rotisserie.
Period. Because I was working in the pharmacy and I was making $9 an hour. What the fuck can I can't even wipe my ass with $9 an hour. Like my paycheck, I was working 40 hours a week and I was getting the most paycheck. The biggest paycheck I saw there, I remember, was $550. And I thought I was balling. I thought I was balling. Bitch, I went straight to TJ Maxx and got me a clearance Michael Kors backpack. I thought I was the cutest bitch in town. It was cute.
It'd be like that.
Yeah. But, you know, I have a sense of humor about it now. But looking back, it was funny because, you know, my mother was a disabled woman and I was this tall, skinny, innocent looking gay boy. So like us walking into these stores, nobody would have ever thought that we were doing that. And I'm not trying to glamorize it, but it's something that, like, as horrible as it is, that's something that I do cherish, like the memories of me and my mother. It was a rush every time. And I am not promoting this. I'm just sharing my experience. So please don't start going on heists with your mother. I do not recommend it. You will get in trouble.
Back and we're better.
Period. Well, welcome back. I'm Camo.
I'm Tasia.
And, you know, we left off talking about why we made the decisions that we did. And for everyone listening, we want to encourage you all to make better decisions. Seriously, I know we have a sense of humor about the fucked up shit we've done, but there's really nothing funny about it. And it's not okay, you know, when you make these decisions, you're not just hurting yourself, but you're hurting the people around you. And for myself, I know that I betrayed a lot of people's trust when I got in trouble and people looked at me differently. And you don't want to experience that feeling if you can help it. So stop while you're ahead, get clean, stop stealing, and just do better. Just do better. Plus, all these stores got extra security, so you're most likely going to get in trouble.
Period. Yeah, I definitely can relate to that as well. You do. It takes a, like I said, when my merch line came out, like I make light of so much stuff and I'm always like cute and gorgeous, but it really wasn't cute and gorgeous getting to where we're at today. It took a lot of pain and trauma and sick and suffering, and it's just not easy. Like, it's easy for people to look at where other people are at today and be like, and almost like support where they're at. But during all of it, we had no support. And so it wasn't looked at as cute and gorgeous. So
we were being stupid.
Yeah. And so I'm just glad that we're on the other side of things, but also I'm glad that we can share our story in hopes that people can kind of understand us more. But also there's people that are going through the same stuff that we've already been through currently, and or they've already done it or they're going to do it. And so hopefully our stories will help. And that's the only thing that, you know, we can hope and pray for. But
yeah,
this was a really good episode and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, same. Well, you guys, I think that wraps it up for today. I hope y'all don't look at us differently. I mean, I really overshared a lot, and I'm so sorry to all the places that I did dirty in the past.
But this is therapeutic, though. This is our story.
This is my story. This is her story, and it's not always been so cute and gorgeous. It really hasn't. But moving forward, I aspire to be the best version of myself that I can be. I have since put my ways behind me. I've made a conscious effort to do better, be better, and just live with integrity. You want to feel good about the person you are. And when you're making those type of decisions, you can't feel good about who you are. And, you know, I feel like that really can contribute to somebody's demise and to somebody's, you know, lack of confidence. So put good out there and good will find you. The universe is all about balance. So you put good out, good will find you. You attract what you put out. So that's on that.
Period. And we thank you guys so much for tuning in to Unfazed and Unbothered. And we look forward to being back on next week's episode.
Period. Also, thank you for number three. We made number three on the top comedy charts. That's fucking insane. We've maintained that spot for 3 days now. Yes. I'm truly blown away by that. So thank you guys so much. Please rate and review this
and subscribe podcast.
Please, yes, whatever.
Thank you guys so much. Such a blessing.
It is. Whatever y'all are watching on, subscribe, rate, comment, like, whatever, the whole nine yards. Anyways, but thank you for listening and we'll see you next time.
Bye guys.
Bye.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.